Stop setting weight loss goals. That's it. That's the intro. Stop setting weight loss goals. Today, we're going to go into why setting weight loss goals is actually not a good idea and why it's ruining your ability to actually reach the goals and your body goals and whatever it may be. So on today's episode, we're going to talk about why you shouldn't actually set a weight loss goal. So grab your coffee and let's get into it. Welcome back, everybody.
We're back.
We are back with episode 494.
Yes, ma'am. How was your workout today?
It was good. I had a good workout. It's like I just got it done. I knew I needed to get up here in the studio and get some work done. I every minute counts right now for me. I've been super busy, but I did. I had a good workout. How was yours?
Me? Excellent. Crushed it. Filmed it and everything. Filmed my set. My strength's coming back quick. I was just reflecting. Man, just 3 weeks ago tonight, I was in the goddamn emergency room, or actually getting carted off from my home to the emergency room 3 weeks ago. Damn near. But here I am crushing it today, feeling good, happy, happy at life.
That's awesome. Why don't you share why you have that strange thing? Did we show it on the last episode? I can't remember.
I think we did.
I think we showed it on Patreon.
What is it like? It's like a heart rate monitor. Basically, what they want to monitor my heart for is AFib. Make sure like the stroke didn't come from my heart. So I have to wear it for 2 weeks. They just want to see some data, make sure no stone unturned, basically.
Yeah, that's pretty high tech, because I remember my dad had to have one of those, and he had to have all the things all over. And you have to have this little phone with you.
Yeah, I got this little phone right here, and it tracks sends the data to the phone to make sure, again, everything's going good. And I'm also supposed to track if I have any dizzy spells or something funky, you press a button and you log it in. Oh. So they want to just make sure like they didn't miss anything.
Have you had to do that yet?
No, not at all. I got a little tiny lightheaded today after my set because I pulled harder than usual, higher, heavier weight, but I just sat there and breathed and it went away. It wasn't like I had to regain my balance or nothing.
Yeah, be careful though.
Yeah, I know. You know me, I like to push, man. I'm not one of those people who just settle. I'm like, fuck that, let's go.
You stress me out though. All right, a little housekeeping, you guys. If you're not subscribed to us over on Patreon, we have a show over there. I'm going to remind you every single episode. It is off topic and we love it. I don't know what happens. It's just a totally different vibe for whatever reason. When the Patreon off topic camera goes on, it's just a different feeling and we're loving that. So if you want to subscribe, I will put the link up here. I'll put it down in the description. It's $7 a month. It supports us being able to continue to do this stuff for you guys. And you're going to get plenty of content over there.
Yeah. We'll also get to it's a safe space to talk about whatever we want to talk about. There's no filters and there's no censoring. So again, let us know what you guys want to hear and we'll talk about it, man. We're free game. You know what I'm saying? We're open book.
Yeah. And also in the comments there, I also want to emphasize that the comments there are private comments. So I know we do comment corner here on Candidly with Coffee, but I will never share a comment from our off topic show or from our Patreon channel here publicly, because people are sharing their personal experiences there. They want a safe space also to be able to communicate and vent and share their own personal experiences. And so just so you guys know, that stuff is safe. It's also the same rule of thumb I use for my DMs. I keep that stuff private. If I ever do share like a quote from a DM, I share it anonymously. I do not share who sent it to me. I just to let you guys know, that stuff is, not everything is for sharing.
Not everything is for sharing. Yeah. All private, you guys.
And then also follow us on our candidly_with_coffee Instagram and make sure you're subscribed here on YouTube. We really appreciate that. Subscribers are climbing.
Yes, they are. And always, where we say this, comments, man, we love it. I love responding back to you guys.
Yeah, we got so many comments rolling in. And you guys, we're recording this on a Friday. We just released episode 493 a few hours ago. There's 62 comments. I've replied to some of them. I haven't gotten to all of them, but I will, because you guys took the time to comment. Therefore, I take my time to reply to all those comments because I really, really appreciate you guys. No spam. We're not hiring a service to do our comments for us.
Yeah, ain't no bot comment back to you guys, man. It's us, purely.
Yeah, sometimes it's me, sometimes it's Mike, sometimes it's both of us.
Yeah, Like I said, we try to get back to as many as we can. Usually all of them. We're pretty good at it. If we don't get back to it today, we get back to it over the leading days, always.
Yeah, at some point. I try. I do my best. Now, I'm not as great about DMs. I do my best. I get in there and answer some, but if they've been in there a while and they're old, I just leave them and answer the fresh ones. I do my best, but I run 3 Instagram accounts, and so it's tough. And if I don't get to you, it's just simply because I just don't have time.
Yeah.
I literally run out of time, you guys. I was up at 3 a.m.
Again, huh? I was up at 4:30.
Mm-hmm. And every moment, how much can I get done? I open up my list and I just start banging it away and think, how much can I get done before I have to leave for the gym? It's like a race with myself.
And the crazy shit is, I used to get up at 4 a.m. and yeah, I'm getting up at savage hour. You're like, that's too early, babe. 5 is good enough for me. I'm not doing 4. Here you are at 3 a.m. You're beating all of us.
I know, but that's what it takes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what it takes to do what I'm trying to do here. And we're at the studio now. And guess what? We're going to come right back to the studio because we're filming a show for Patreon tonight. That's a totally different scene, though. Totally different setup. But we will be right back in the studio. But it's also date night. We're going to go out to dinner.
I don't think people realize how much work. You run 3 Instagram accounts, okay? You also have a TikTok. This YouTube, and you're producing shows with my client, Mauricio Mejia. You're like, your bandwidth is, you're at the red line and you're at the top. So again, ladies, if she doesn't respond to you, it's not because she's not seeing you or nothing. It's just that you only have so much bandwidth. Joe Rogan talks about that. He gets friends that get angry with him who don't respond to texts or DMs. He's, dude, I don't have time for everybody. Uh-huh. That guy's super busy. Yeah. You see how many podcasts he records?
No, I get it. And I also have one-on-one clients.
Yes. On top of that.
I have a challenge group.
On top of that.
With 140 women in there. So I have 2 TikToks, actually. So yeah, it's busy. And so if I'm going to be honest with you, the bottom of my priority list of all of those things is DMs.
Yeah.
But and, I do get to a lot of them.
And Facebook.
Oh, I don't even open Facebook Messenger, by the way. So if you guys have ever messaged me on Facebook.
It's good to throw it out there.
I do not open Facebook Messenger. Because it's just another, find me on Instagram, send me an email, something else. I'm not going to open another communication port that I do not have time to correspond. So if you've ever sent me a message there, I have not seen it.
That's crazy how you're very calculated. Your schedule, it's very professional. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not as calculated as you. I'm busy, but not like nowhere near you. And it's, damn, you have to follow all these steps throughout your day because you can't miss a step. Because it'll throw you off.
Yes, because I do have some help, but one employee, one person, not full time, that kind of helps manage some things. But it's not. They're not answering my comments. They're not answering my DMs. They're not impersonating me.
Yes.
When you see me, it's me. So yeah, it's a lot of work, but I do love my job. I do it because. But one thing I do feel. I am producing shows. I'm actually even producing a new show where I'm not behind the camera. I'm in front of the camera with Mauricio, the Smoke and Mirrors podcast, telling his story. He has a book out and we're going to do chapter by chapter in its own series, Smoke and Mirrors. And that's another thing adding onto my plate. But what is probably going to scale back is the amount of people that I will one-on-one coach.
Yeah, that's just the way it is. You only have so much bandwidth in life. And listen, your ladies are going to love that series because he's going to get deep with everything. You guys are going to do good with it.
Yeah, but so on my one-on-one coaching, like right now I don't have any spots open because every single client that I have right now re-upped for another month. I have one new one starting Monday. That's it because all my other clients re-signed and I don't know when I will have spots open. As of right now, probably not for the entire month of March. Congrats to the people who got in. Actually, the people that got in, they got in because of when we went on live.
Yes, that's right.
Those were like the last ones that I've been able to sign up for right now. But yeah, you guys, it's busy.
You sound like almost like a tattoo artist. The books are closed. Basically, when the books are closed, they're booked out. They're so busy.
Yeah, yeah. But like I said, I do love my job. All right, moving on to the... hot coffee topic.
Let's go.
I have some Bravo news I wanted to share. Jax Taylor and Brittany Cartwright announced separation. Jax, right?
Yes, I know who he is.
Yeah. They are separated after 4 years of marriage. They return to reality TV, and within months of returning to reality TV, they're already calling it quits.
I saw that. I was going to run that by you. I saw that somewhere. I don't know whose page or where I came across that. Like, and another one.
They have a podcast together too.
Ooh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Man, how's that going to work?
I don't know. That's the funny thing. It's like you and I. I feel like if we started having problems, the viewers would be able to tell.
They'll pick up on our energy.
Uh-huh.
People are smart. They're really intuitive. They know something's off. They've known when I've been moody too on the podcast. They could tell like something's off with Mike.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. There's been a couple episodes where people are like, man, Mike was in a mood today.
Yeah. Yeah. See, they know. They know I'm more serious and more intense or something's up.
Yeah. And also in Bravo news, Raquel from Vanderpump Rules, the one who had the affair with her best friend, Tom Sandoval, the whole scandal.
Yeah.
She's suing the guy she had an affair with, Tom Sandoval, and Ariana for revenge porn.
No way.
And guess who?
They put that out there?
Tom recorded her masturbating without her knowing. And then Ariana got hold of that video and then shared it with some other cast members. And that's illegal revenge porn.
I wish I knew the story, but somebody got sentenced to prison for that.
Mm-hmm.
That shit's a crime.
It is a crime. So Mark Garagos is her attorney, too.
Oh, man. That dude, she picked a battleship right there. That dude fires missiles.
He probably reached out to her like, hey, you got something here.
Oh, yeah. They're in trouble.
Yep.
That dude's no joke. He's defending someone that I know on a case as well. Mark Garagos.
Oh, really? Kane
Velasquez.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right.
They pulled the money together. We're able to afford him. Because he's top dog. He's no joke. Look him up. Mark Garagos, if you got the money, you got a kind of case, Mark Garagos is your guy.
Yeah, for sure. And then also in Bravo news, Andy Cohen is like having a bad week because Aaliyah McSweeney, former Real Housewives of New York, sues Andy Cohen and Bravo for discrimination, alleges culture promoting alcohol and drug use.
I'm 100% on the board with the drug use. I noticed that. And not just Andy is guilty that or your housewife shows, but a lot of these reality shows, most of them are guilty of that. They even used to do it in the Tough House for the UFC fighters. They'd liquor them up. And I never understood that. For the drama, right? But again, these are fighters. You're playing with fire. You're licking them up. And they're fighters in the house. Somebody's going to get hurt.
Yeah. It also claims that Mr. Cohen frequently uses cocaine with other housewife stars and that he rewards those cast members with favorable treatment. All allegedly, by the way.
I feel like I could believe that, though. I don't know why. Because we know behind the scenes, we've been around celebrities. We know they love to party, especially with cocaine.
Yeah.
That's like their drug of choice. We've seen it over and over many times.
Yep.
We have some stories. One day I'm going to tell you guys a story about a famous athlete.
No, we're going to tell that story. Hold that. That's for the after show.
No, I was going to save it for Patreon.
That's for the after show.
Okay, yeah.
Where do you think the after show takes place?
Okay. But yeah, that story's too juicy, you guys. It almost doesn't seem real, but it happened to us.
I know. And I will back that story up with another story of a Bravo celebrity that I encountered that goes along with this as well.
Oh, yes. I know. Did it have to do with one of our favorite places?
Yes.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Anyway, sorry, guys. That's going to be off topic.
Off topic.
Off topic. Sorry. On the after show. But in another problem, another turn of events, another twist for Bravo, Brandy Glanville's attorney sent a letter to Bravo owners, NBC Universal and Warner Brothers, and all of the people that the Real Housewives executive producer, Andy Cohen, appeared inebriated and boasted of his intentions to sleep with another Bravo star that night while thinking of her. Like he called her. And he FaceTimed her and was saying that he was going to sleep with another Bravo celebrity that night and he would be thinking of Brandy while he does it. He did that via FaceTime. Mr. Cohen was Miss Glanville's boss at the time and exercised complete and total control over her career. The duo continued in the letter. This was an extraordinary abuse of power that led Miss Glanville feeling trapped and disgusted. Okay, I have some comments on this, though. I do not feel that she felt trapped and disgusted. I think she had that little Trump card in her back pocket.
Yep.
She's having some problems financially because of some stuff that happened with Bravo. and now she's using it. I do not like when people weaponize information like that that happened in the past that wasn't a problem to them then, but now that they can use it to their advantage, they're using it. I don't like that.
It's financial gain. Mm-hmm. Always. You could tell. You always say that. That's why people take a note from us. Be careful who you share what with. You could be sharing on your good intentions. This could be your best friend. Guess what? When that relationship blows up, now they got a trump card on you. Don't allow that to happen. It happens so much. It's almost like they're frenemies. You have to be careful. Mm-hmm. And now it's coming back to haunt him. He sounds like he's having a bad week and then some.
Yeah, I don't like that. I believe that it happened, but I don't believe she was shocked and disgusted by it.
No, come on now. Shocked and disgusted. You probably played along with it at first, thought it was funny. I have a question though. So this dude, he wanted to sleep with a Bravo castmate. Are we talking man or woman?
He was alluding to a woman, like he was joking. It was a joke. Like he was joking about it. It was another Bravo celebrity that was with him at the time. They were partying together.
Yeah.
FaceTimed Brandy. It was like it was a friend games. Party. Come on, think about how all the things we would say and do when we were partying.
Of course. Especially if you're inebriated.
Yeah.
Or you're under the influence of some good stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, because I thought allegedly came out as gay always. Thought he was a gay man.
Oh, Andy's gay. Okay. Of course, he's openly gay man.
Okay.
Very gay. Anyways, there was lots of Bravo news, and I know there's plenty of Bravo accounts that talk about this stuff, but I love Bravo, and I got to share a little.
Yes, she does, you guys. Oh
Bravo
my God.
Action with you guys sometimes.
Juicy, juicy.
All right, so this next one is a Hold My Coffee. Not your traditional Hold My Coffee. It wasn't a comment to me, but it was so annoying. You can probably delve into it a little bit.
Yeah. There,
you want to share it? It was that Joey Swole video.
Oh, okay. So let me break it down for you guys. So basically, there was a woman in the gym. It looked like she was doing dumbbell rows, bent over on the bench. You know how you bend over?
I'll put the video up on the screen so you guys can see it.
She's doing. Take a quick Snapchat with the finger. Put it right back down. When I was not looking, of course, because that's what predators do.
Just want to give an update from this video the other day where this woman falsely accused this man of taking a photo of her at the gym, then proceeds to call him a predator and even threatens to put him in the hospital. Luckily, a friend of his that serves with him in the Navy recognized him and reached out to me. He let me know that this man doesn't even have Instagram. He only has Facebook. So he sent him the video. He was very, very upset by this and explained that he wasn't taking a photo of her. He was actually taking a screenshot to send to his wife, who was also very, very upset.
She's recording, so the camera's facing behind her. There's a guy in a machine. It looks like it's a shoulder press machine. I'm not sure. He's on his phone. And she's feeling herself some type of way. Talking about, look at this guy. He's stalking. He's sexual predator. He's checking me out. He's taking videos. The dude was on his phone texting the whole time. Was never taking a picture of her. But what I want to say is there's a lot of that gym shaming going on where these ladies set up these cameras to film behind them. And for some reason, they think it's going to get them a bunch of likes or a bunch of traffic to their channel, and they want to oust men, make us look like we're some kind of predators.
Call it entrapment. Basically.
Entrapment, yes.
So it's like they want to call attention to themselves so that they get the attention, so that then they can shame the person for giving them attention.
Yeah, but too bad it backfired on her bad. It blew up in her face. It didn't work.
Yeah, because basically, for those of you guys who don't follow Joey Swole, he's actually a great account. He's a bodybuilder guy, but people send him things like this where he can help out. Yeah. Joey got it handled.
Oh, yeah. Got her gym membership revoked. Got a hold of the gym somehow because he has attorneys he works with or something, somebody. And it's nasty because this is going on a lot. Now, all of a sudden, this is what we're doing. Now, I'm going to be more aware of me when I'm in the gym working out. Make sure there's no camera filming my way. I'm going to pay attention.
Yeah, or what about if you're filming? Because you do film. We do film sometimes. And somebody is around you and they're looking at you like they think you're filming them.
Yeah, exactly. I try not to film when I'm in the commercial gym too much because people feel some type of way.
Yeah.
I'd like to film more in my client's gym. It's more private.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because downstairs more like content creators, a lot of deadlifters, and they're filming their form and technique. Everybody down there.
Yeah, Punch King Fitness, you guys, is content creator friendly here. So if you want a membership, it's in San Jose.
Yes.
There's so much space and place to film. And so if you are a fitness professional, content creator,
Yep.
This is the gym you want to be a member at, because there's a lot of times during that there's plenty of space where you're not going to be in anybody's way, and you're not going to get, and you've seen my content, like you can't see anybody in the background. It's a proper place to film, but I just don't like the whole call attention to yourself to try to get people to look at you and then be mad that they're looking at you stuff.
Yes. What was I telling you? City sports ain't so bad, but when I went to the UFC gym, when I train with my friend and I go in the evenings, oh boy, you could tell who's trying to call to attention there. A lot of women with the pelvic tilt going on.
Yeah.
On purpose.
I call it peacocking.
Yes, they're peacocking. It's purposely sticking out their glutes so men will look.
And then they're like, oh my God, that guy's like totally checking me out. Like, it's so annoying. What a perv.
And then what do? They tie their shirt in the back? Remember you were saying
that? Yeah. I'm like,
they tie their shirt in the back.
My thing is, look, if you're going to be mad that, oh my God, why is that guy staring at me? But then you have a big t-shirt on, but you have it tied in a knot, tucked up under the back of your sports bra. Why? Because you want your booty to show, but then you're mad that they're looking at your booty?
Yeah. Like, you're calling attention to yourself. These are men. These are young men full of testosterone.
Yeah.
Their hormones are raging. That's what people do. They go to meet up at the gym. There's a lot of gym hookups. I was a trainer at 24-Hour Fitness. It literally was a hookup. Not that same mean you were a hookup, but I met you at the gym.
We started as a hookup.
Yeah, I guess you said, but eventually we got married. But yeah, we met at the gym. It's a great place to meet somebody. But today is like, there's a lot of gym shaming going on today.
Yeah.
Like setups, man. That ain't cool at all. I hope more and more people get busted. More of these ladies get ousted. He ousts a lot of ladies, Joyce Wool.
Yeah, he does. He's like a goob.
He is like a goob. Dude has millions of followers. His page is huge.
Yeah.
I think he has 4 million followers on Instagram.
Yeah, he's got a big following.
So he's like a goob. So goob basically is a guy who ousts people who Photoshop a lot, and they sell products and they snatch their waist in, and he ousts them on. They get mad. A lot of stuff. He ousts sexual predators.
He does all kinds. I'm sure that they've done like things together or know each other.
Probably. Oh, yeah. I'm sure they do. Yeah, because it has to stop. The gym should be a safe space to work out and enjoy yourself and comfort place, not a place of shaming.
All right. Moving on to Comment Corner. And we have a lot of comments, but like I said, I haven't gotten too many today. So, but I will share a couple because we got a lot rolling in. Shauna TK79, this was just what I needed to hear. The last few months have been rough on my family. My husband is dealing with a chronic illness, leaving a lot on my shoulders. I work part-time, homeschool my son, launched online coaching thanks to your encouragement, and just lost a fur baby last week. I sometimes feel like I'm drowning with stress and overwhelm, but I know if I keep pushing, the tides will turn. I'm leaning on faith and know dark seasons teach us lessons. Thank you for the tips on coping with stress and loss.
Yeah, that's a lot on her plate, man. And it's tough. Like it feels like you're in the ocean drowning with no life jacket and you're constantly fighting to stay adrift. Mm-hmm. But if you keep on fighting, somebody's going to throw you that life jacket.
Yeah.
And you're going to climb back to shore.
Yeah.
So
something's got to give.
But you must keep pushing. There's no other way.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I've said it before, but I love that Rocky quote where you get punched in the mouth. How hard can you get hit? It ain't how hard you can get hit, but how hard can you get hit, get dropped, and get up and keep on fighting?
Mm-hmm. I love that quote. We have it in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next one comes to us from Kathy Moore, 7293. That's crazy to me how everyone glorifies obesity. I eat 1,600 calories on weekdays and 1,900 on weekends. She actually sounds like almost my exact macros. I work out 5 days a week and also do at least 12,000 steps. I also stopped drinking about a year ago, and now I'm labeled as boring in my circle just because I choose a healthy lifestyle. We just got to keep doing us and forget what simple-minded individuals say or do. Thank you, Janine and Mike, for sharing your knowledge with all of us. I always listen to you guys while I do my cardio session. Thank you so much. And it's so true.
What was her name?
Kathy Moore, 7293.
Kathy Moore. You know what though, Kathy? Check this out. That's okay. Let them keep shaming you and calling you boring. Let's see where they're at 10, 20 years from now, if they're still around, while you're still going strong. Or when they end up in the hospital bed. I'm so sorry, Kathy, for shaming you. I should have listened to you, blah, blah, blah. Because that's what's happening. A lot of people don't realize, like, you're going to the grave faster. That's what's guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
Keep drinking and see if that liver, how long that liver is going to handle it for.
You know what? When it comes to this kind of stuff, I think that it's just that people, they can't do it themselves. And so what you're doing is just a reminder of what they would like to do, but they can't do themselves.
Yeah. So they're bothered by it.
Yeah.
So they want you to be on their frequency.
Yeah.
You're operating on a much higher frequency, they're on a much lower frequency, and it bothers them. And this is what I hate about humans, man. Another thing, it's also like a control. Like, humans love to control what you should do with your life. No, do you. I'm not telling you. If you want to drink, go for it. I'm not. Mm-hmm. I ain't telling nobody not to drink. Mm-mm. I don't want to be that person.
Me neither.
But don't tell me to drink. Don't worry about my body. Don't worry about my health. I'm worried about it. It's me. I'm in charge of it, not you.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel. Let's not play this, because I'm snappy if somebody tries to get me to drink. I don't like control.
Yeah, and you know what? I think about this from even maybe I should share this. This is probably Patreon-ish, but I'm going to share it anyway. So
sure.
Even in general, don't you notice that friends, they're people that you surround with, if they're doing dirt, they want you to do dirt too.
Oh, 100%.
In the same way.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Especially men. Oh, man, they're doing dirt. They want to incriminate you. And you go, no, sir, you go do dirt. If you feel like cheating on your wife and being a dirtbag or going to those places, like, you go. I'm not going with you. You're not going to incriminate me, homie. Just you can have dirt on me so we can do it together. No, sir. I have a different relationship with my wife than you have with yours.
Yeah, I feel like that. It's always been like that. Like,
yes.
People, they want to. It's almost like that's their, I don't know, guarantee that you won't tell on them or something.
Yep.
But it's been the same vein as the whole, if I'm going to drink, I want you to drink. If I'm going to eat like shit, I want you to eat like shit. Why are humans like that?
Control freaks. That's all I could think of. Joe Rogan talks about that. People are just fucking control freaks. They always want to control what the next man does. And I can't say it on here because it's YouTube. I'll save it for Patreon. But it's the same thing with the getting that. People push that agenda so hard on you. But dude, worry about you. If you want that, all good. I don't want it. So leave me out of it. It's that simple.
Right.
But they keep pushing to the point where I'm going to snap on somebody. They keep pushing. Good. For the most part, people respect my decisions. No one gets me to try to do anything I don't want to do. But you're right. When people do dirt, they want you to do dirt with them.
Mm-hmm.
You've told me stories about past girlfriends. And like I said, we're going to save some for Patreon. We got some stories.
Sorry, guys, but that's why that is exactly why we did the Patreon.
Yeah.
Because this happens all the time during the shows. There's things that come up that we just cannot share here.
Yeah.
But that's why we made the after show.
Yeah, and you got some good stories too. You've told me some girl trips you've been on, and even the whole cruise thing, you told me about that. I didn't know about cruises.
Yeah, but like, that's the thing. People, they want, and I don't know, it's like they want to feel, it's like it makes them feel better if you're also effing up.
Yes, because here's the thing. If they're doing it, and they go, oh, shit, they know I'm doing dirt. They got the trump card on me. But you do it with them. They got the trump card, too. You both have a card on each other.
Yeah, so, but I mean, I think it also just has to do with they just want to make sure that you're a shitty person, too. Kind of like you're a slob, too. You skip workouts, too. You drink your ass off, too. That's why they want you to drink with them.
Yes.
They want you to eat. But you're fat, too.
That's true. You know what? And you're speaking facts. And this was bothering everybody. You go on social media and you say the truth like that, people get all mad at you. Oh, man, but life's about a balance, man. What's wrong with me drinking? Oh, man, why are you fat shaming me? Why this? No, we're calling attention that you're an unhealthy person today. But yeah, you want the truth? You are fat. Am I lying? Go look in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Are you really being honest with yourself? Mm-hmm. Take your shirt off and walk out in public if you're that confident. 100% they won't. But, so it's telling you they're not where they want to be.
Yeah, and you know that it's like, a lot of people would call us fat shamers, but it's not fat shame. Why is that? Why is because we're focused on health and like helping people like hold themselves accountable to being the healthiest version so they can live the longest and enjoy life a little bit more. Why is that shaming? That's not shaming.
No,
that's just our views. And so I refuse to conform. Because society tells me that, oh, that's a bad thing to be open and say that, okay, it's not good to be obese. That's a bad thing that I feel that way. That's weird to me.
And these are parents that are obese. You have children. You owe it to them. You brought them into this world. You owe it to them to live as long as possible. But by being obese, you're cutting your lifespan way down. You don't care. You're only thinking about yourself. And then you make a gazillion excuses why you're this way, and you don't do nothing about it. But the crazy shit is, they'll shame us, fitness or being lean, like we're crazy or something. Like you overtrain, you're obsessed, this, that. You make, no, we want to be healthy and lean. when the battle comes, like it came for me, guess what? My body was ready. When that stroke came for me, look where I'm at. 3 weeks later, still working out. Do that to a person who's a grotesquely overweight and obese. They either might not made it or been in a wheelchair or paralyzed or who knows what the recovery would have been like.
We have friends in the medical industry. And what did they tell us during the pandemic? Who was dying? Who died?
90% of the people. Overweight. Everybody was overweight. We had a close friend of mine who was in New York in the middle, in the thick of the pandemic. Guess who was dying? All the overweight people. Mm-hmm. They were dropping like flies. They didn't have a fighting chance.
The people who were overweight and had the comorbidities, and the comorbidities were large in part because they were overweight. So like the diabetes, yes, and things like that. Those were the people that were dying for the most part. Yes, there's outliers. So I'm not here to debate that kind of stuff.
No.
There's outliers. But the majority, statistically,
yep,
those are the people that didn't make it.
No, not at all. I actually know two people personally. I'm not going to put them on blast, but two people, two larger men of, I don't want to even say their culture.
Don't.
They almost didn't make it. They ended up mm-hmm. on the ventilators. And no, when I asked him about it, he like got choked up and he's ready to cry. He thought he wasn't going to live.
You almost didn't.
And I'm like, ooh, bro, that was a sign. You better get it together, bro. You're way overweight. You and your
didn't homie. He get it together after that?
A little bit. I don't know where he's at now, but yeah. That should be a wake-up call to you guys, man, because what happens when the next wave of something comes? Something's always going to come now. We don't know what it is now. Now they let the genie out of the bottle. Who knows what's next?
So many decades, there's something that comes that wipes out a big portion of the population.
Oh, yeah.
It goes back in history.
Mm-hmm.
The Spanish flu, the swine flu. There's always something that
yes.
comes out that kind of like thins out the population. That's just historical.
Yes.
That's factual,
yes,
historical.
Exactly. So, you better get your body ready for battle. So when that battle hits you, you're going to be prepared. I had that thing twice, the COVID. Fought it off easily, my body. Why? I was in great shape both times.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to, I just wanted to talk about weight loss goals. And you know how I think it's important to emphasize why setting an actual weight loss goal is just detrimental.
It is.
People are so focused on losing weight on the scale. And if that's your goal, it's going to be really hard to maintain motivation with a goal like that because, for one, the scale is not static. The scale is not linear either, and it bounces all over the place, and that's going to drive you crazy. For two, you do not know what your ideal weight is. You do not know. Stop chasing a number that you used to be that you think is, I have to hit that number. Stop doing that because you don't know what that number is. You don't know what it should be. Once you change your body composition, it can be totally different.
Yeah. And everybody always lives in their past. I used to be this weight in high school. Well, that's high school. You're 40-something years old now, this ain't high school. What you need to change is consistency. Learn to track macros. Learn about calories. Learn about how important protein is. Consistency is going to win you the race, period,
mm-hmm.
hands down.
Mm-hmm. And then I also wanted to touch on what you always talk about, because I think that's what people should shift when they're thinking about starting a weight loss journey. You can still call it a weight loss journey, but don't focus just on the scale and on hitting a specific number. Focus on the mental part of your journey.
Yep.
Because the body, like you always tell me that, and you're right. If you focus on the mental part and your actions and how you feel mentally and improving all of those things, the body will come.
Yes, the body will come, 100%. But it all starts here. People look at it differently. They look at themselves and look at the physical. Nope, you're thinking of the wrong thing. How do I sharpen up my tool right here? This right here, this important muscle in the mind. Because listen, you're not lazy. Your mindset is lazy. No one's lazy in society. They tell themselves they're lazy and they feel lazy. Where does the feeling come from? Right here. But if you change your mindset, you know what? I am lazy. My mind is lazy, but I'm going to shift that. I'm going to unlazy myself. It's just a shift to this. Nobody, I always say that. We don't possess special powers. We have a strong mindset. And the reason I'm recovering from what happened to me, I have a strong mindset.
Mm-hmm.
So it all comes back to the mindset.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's important to set realistic goals that are not based on aesthetics only.
Nope.
Like how you feel, like your mental well-being,
yes,
reducing stress levels, improving your sleep quality, enhancing your mood. Because if you focus on those things, then those things are going to make it easier for you to master those basics that we always talk about. But you're not going to be able to master the basics if you feel like shit, you're in a bad mood, you're overly stressed, you're not sleeping. That's what you have to focus on. Because if you don't improve those things, you can't master the basics and the weight's never going
to
come off.
Never. And one of the most important things for you to master the basics to be successful at any of this is your sleep. Prioritize that. If your sleep is off, okay, work on that. Work on, I don't drink enough water. Okay, work on that. All steps. Oh, I don't know how to track macros. Learn. And don't be scared. Just learn. You get better with time. Take it like a little video game. You get better with yourself. And again, remember, get your fucking mind strong. That's the secret weapon, is the mind. That's why people are successful in life. They have a strong mindset. And
so how do you suggest someone go about making their mind strong?
You got to work on it day-to-day basis. You got to start doing all the simple steps, like you said. First, okay, my sleep's off. Work on that. Work on going to sleep earlier. Have discipline and going to sleep earlier. You have to work on your discipline. Getting up earlier. You start training yourself little by little to get up earlier. Then you tell yourself, okay, today, I don't know, let's just say you're averaging 2,000, 3,000 steps. So, okay, today, get 5,000, 6,000 steps. Don't go for the 10,000 like everybody must give minimum, as they say. Double that up. Before you know it, okay, now I'm consistently 5,000, 6,000 steps. Start upping the ante. What are you doing? Going to the gym once or twice a week? All right, we'll start going 3 to 4 times a week. Mm-hmm. One at a time. Don't go gangbusters. Don't go all in. Okay, you're eating bad. We'll start looking at yourself and what can I do away with? One step at a time. What can I do away with? Don't just clear it out completely. Don't do that. It's not going to work. You're going to go crazy.
So basically what you're saying is give yourself small tasks, small achievable tasks, and then keep those promises to yourself.
Yep. Every day. Either write it on your phone, write it on the list, check it off. Do what you can. Mental note, whatever it takes. But you cannot go gangbusters. You can't go all in. It never works. 95% plus people fail when they, I'm just going to diet and exercise. I'm just going to eat salads and go to the gym every day. Nope. Doesn't work. Sorry. You're not there yet. You're not even close. That's a real disciplined person to do that. You're not even remotely close to that. One step at a time.
Yeah, I hear that so much and I just have to bite my tongue with someone that's not my client or anything. They'll be like, "Oh yeah, I'm going to start eating salads every day, or I'm just cutting out all sugar, or I'm not going to eat bread." I'm just like, "Oh my god."
No. No. And don't use your age as an excuse. I saw a comment today about somebody said, I forgot on whose side, and basically the lady was saying, "Oh, wait till you're 40 or something like that." I wanted to comment say back like, your age has nothing to do with you losing body fat, lady, at all. Mm-hmm. It's all in your mind. You guys just use age as a fucking excuse. Stop using age as an excuse.
Well, it's kind of like, okay, what we're saying, focus on the mental part of your journey. Yes. Why do you think the women who enter menopause struggle with weight gain? It's because of the things that change mentally that affect you when you're in menopause, when your hormones get affected and you lose motivation. You're tired. You don't sleep well. So it's all those things. That's how impactful it is. Then it results in weight gain. So think about this. When you focus on improving all of those things, it results in weight loss, just the opposite. So just like women in menopause gain weight, people who focus on improving all of those things lose weight. It works the same in both directions.
Yeah.
It just, obviously it happens a lot with women in menopause because a lot of those things happen all at once, like the lack of hormones, poor sleep, poor mood. So all of that stuff makes it difficult to do the things you need to do to keep the weight off. But it's important. That's why it's so important, regardless of what season of life you're in, menopause, perimenopause, or none of those things, just normal life, you have to focus on the mental part. The physical part follows it automatically.
Yeah. People focus on the physical. Always focus on the mental part first. Number one comes first, not the physical part. And also motivation. Sometimes you find motivation. You might see a quote or somebody might motivate you. But remember, motivation is just an emotion. It comes and goes. Mm-hmm. It doesn't stay. Mm-mm. We're not always motivated, but it's just autopilot. We go. We go, we get to work, and that's it. It's discipline that gets us to the dance, you know?
Yeah. This past three weeks, this week was better. Before that, because of everything that happened to you, my motivation was gone. Gone. Yeah. Every workout I did, every macro-friendly meal I ate was like crawling. That was my discipline. I had zero motivation. Inside, when things like that happen, I want to do nothing, and I want to eat all the things, and I want to skip all my workouts.
Because you empathize with me being in the hospital, me being down and out.
Yeah. So what happens? You crawl, you do it anyway. Is it as good? No. Are the workouts as good? No. Did I skip walking my steps some of those days? Yeah. Did I eat a little bit more? Yeah. But I still didn't stop. Still discipline kicked in. And then look, I pushed through, even though it was horrible and I didn't want to do it. And I had a lot of nights of poor sleep and all those things. But now entering into this week, I'm like, all right, I'm getting back in my groove. Got all my workouts in, hit my macros really good, felt really good this week.
Yes.
So this week I was like, all right, I'm back. And I'm not back undoing the damage of the last 3 weeks where I threw in the towel because I wasn't feeling motivated. I'm not because I didn't do that. I crawled through those weeks, still made it happen, even though I had zero motivation because my discipline kicked in. And that's critical.
And that's real life shit right there, what she's telling me. That's real life. Not every day. You see all these fitness influencers and all these people who are always on. No, they're not. This is real life. We go through shit in life. We go through losing loved ones. We go through, like what I went through. My health took a turn for the worse for a minute, and it affected my wife's mood and her mental being. But still, she still got it done because that's life. You have to just keep going. Got to keep fighting. It's not easy. You got to crawl. My first Monday, I was tough going to the gym. I struggled. I wasn't motivated, but I knew how to get there. I had zero motivation, had a little fear, but I said, you know what? I got to get back to it. Mm-hmm. And now here we are. Fast forward, second week, end of week in my gym. I'm feeling great. Mm-hmm. Starting to feel like my old self again.
Yeah. Another thing that I think is important to remember when you're on the journey and you are cleaning up your mental health and you're focusing on the right things, sometimes it also means you're in this new season of life. You know what that means? New season of life means new people.
Yep. New people.
New people. You have to really curate your environment. Why are you? You don't have to maintain relationships in the same capacity with everybody all the time if they are not conducive to where you're trying to be and where you're trying to go.
That's truth right there, you guys. Again, you're trying to get to a higher frequency. Look at your life. What frequency are you on? Be honest with yourself. Look at yourself in the mirror. Be like, from a scale of 1 to 10, where are you at? The goal is to get to 10. You're at a 2? Okay. Start elevating yourself one by one. You'll get up there. I promise you guys. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be a climb. Think about it. You're at the bottom, but you're going to climb. The best way you always say is start now. You can look back 6 months from now. Mm-hmm. Then a year from now, you can look back like, wow, look how far I've come. Don't look so far ahead. Damn, this is such a huge climb. Look like when I get to the top of the mountain, then I can look back and reflect on everything. Mm-hmm. And I think people don't do that. They look so far ahead and they feel defeated. Like, where? You gotta start one step at a time climbing that mountain.
Do you feel, back on the like relationships tip, do you feel it's important to, not really, I wouldn't say you have to cut off people, but kind of like distance yourself from people that are living a lifestyle that's not conducive to what you're trying to do?
Yes. They'll hold you back. They'll influence you to live the way they want they live.
Like we just talked about.
Because it makes
about.
Them feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. The minute you start getting levels above them or past them, they feel uncomfortable. I'll elaborate a little bit. So imagine you guys, you haven't seen some family members. Let's just say a year. You went to last Christmas past, kept your head low, doing you. You set a goal. I'm going to transform myself. I'm going to be a different person by next Christmas. Here you are. Next Christmas comes. You're a whole different person. Wow, look at you. There's always that somebody in the room that tries to deflate your progress, or, oh, you're getting too skinny, or, oh, you become too obsessed. It's their insecurity. You made them feel insecure. You actually did something right, and they wish they could do that, but they can't. You kept your head low, your mouth shut, and you did work. Notice that happens a lot.
When I lost my 100 pounds,
yeah,
people were in an uproar. Like, there were so much rumors in my family that I was a drug user, that I was sick, that these crazy rumors. People were so bothered that I was thin. It was a it was a shit show. I remember there was like drama in my family. And
wow.
Yeah.
Hit a nerve.
Yeah, there was drama. Yeah.
So see, instead of these hating ass family members, let's call it what it is, because that's what they are, saying, wow, look at you, Janine, great job. Instead of being a hater, should ask you, how did you do this? What did you do? And you could educate them that, well, this is what I've done to lose 100 pounds. But nope, they want to make all these insinuations, all these accusations. They have no actual proof. They're just spewing. Like I said, people just spew out of the side of their mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like there was people in the family saying things like, oh, Janine just thinks she's too good now. She thinks her shit don't stink. Why? I think my shit don't stink because I'm not fat anymore. That's why I think my shit don't stink. Or is it because it makes you feel insecure that I'm not fat anymore? And it made you feel comfortable because you weren't the fattest person in the room.
There you go.
Sorry.
Exactly. You've spoken the truth. And it irks people. And this might trigger some people too, as she said, but that's so true. It's the same thing I used to get like when I was a young dude. Let's just say it's a nice summer day. I don't know, my 20s. And I wear this, a wife beater or something. It's like somebody always has something to say. Mm-hmm. Oh, steroids, or this, or, oh, you think you're a big muscle guy. Wait a minute, but listen, I could be next to a skinny guy, 120 pounds soaking wet dude. He could wear a white beater. No one has nothing to say. Or I could be next to the 300-pound fat guy who wears a white beater. Nothing to say about him, nothing. Mm-hmm. But me, they got something to say about it, always. Mm-hmm. Always gotten, like, shamed, too, not looking back.
Yeah, this is totally off topic, literally off topic. This is why we have a show called Off Topic. Yeah. But I remember when... In one of the companies that I worked for, they had like a dress code. They don't like certain attire, like athleisure type attire you couldn't wear. So I was told I couldn't wear my leggings.
Okay.
But other people were wearing like the tight black pants, but they were large, like stretch pants. They were called stretch pants back then. They could wear them, but I, who was thin, it was a problem. It was like workout pants. I'm like, no, this is stretch pants, just like Susie Q and Susie B and Susie C over here.
Exactly.
What's the difference?
Yep.
Let's just say I was able to continue to wear my stretch pants when I made that comment.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was very interesting though.
That's because lawsuit entered the chat like, oh, she can't. Lawsuit said, you want to play with this? Because that's shaming.
Yeah, like
they can, but I can't.
It's like they didn't. I don't even think they realized. Like it was just became more noticeable on me that I was wearing leggings. It was noticeable on me, but it wasn't noticeable if you were large. I don't even know, but it was not right.
Isn't it crazy the way society is, how uncomfortable they feel the minute, like if you're just, I guess we're an anomaly because what we see out there, but because we're different and we chose to live this way and. Mm-hmm. And do good for us. Dude, I have personally no choice in the matter. I have to fucking be lean and healthy. I have high blood pressure. I have no choice but to be a lean, healthy man. I can't play around with my health. And a lot of people walk around not knowing that they're knocking on death's door, but they're still playing with their health. Don't do it for aesthetics. Do it for, you better find out what you're playing with in there. You better check your blood pressure. You better check your heart.
Yeah, that's why I talk about like just going focused on... Focusing on the mental part of your journey and doing the things that make you feel good, the body will follow.
Yes.
But just, also be prepared though, because you will make society feel uncomfortable.
I see how people stare at you, especially larger women. I'll be in the grocery store and I love the people watching. I just see like they give these dirty looks and I want to ask them, like, I'm curious, is something about her making you feel uncomfortable? I swear to God, I want to ask these people that. Something, are you bothered by something?
See, I don't see it, but you see it. You always sit back and watch.
I like to watch. I like to sit back. Is something bothered? Are you bothered by something? Let me ask you something. You'll feel more comfortable if she looks like you? Would that make you feel better? Because I think that's what it is. Everybody wants to look the same and feel the same. And if now that society is so large, Americans are so large, they're all comfortable around each other, but the minute like someone's in shape or not large, stands out or looks like they work out, have muscle on their frame, they look at you sideways like you're a problem. And something's wrong with you, like you're a leper.
No, they'll say like you're obsessed, you're extreme.
Yeah. Maybe I am. Maybe I am, but I'd rather be this than be that, than you.
But I'm obsessed with doing things that make me feel good.
It's a feeling.
It's a feeling that
I chase. Exactly what people don't understand. It's a feeling. It starts here. Mm-hmm. If this is happy, then the body's happy. Guess what? When people see their body in the mirror and they're unhappy, then that's not happy. What do we say? It's a reflection of yourself.
Yeah, it is. It
goes hand in
hand.
And
I can say, I used to be someone that was I was chasing a specific number on the scale. And for whatever reason, I wanted to see a certain number. And I've have people who clients be like, I know it doesn't make sense, but I just want to see that number. I no longer do that. I do not care what the number is. I care how I feel. I'm chasing the feeling. I'm not chasing a number on the scale. And that's the whole point of this episode, is to remind you guys to chase the feeling. Do the things that are going to make you feel good.
Yes.
I promise you, your body will reward you.
Yep.
And it will line up. If you feel good, you're going to look good.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Yep. Look beyond what's in the mirror. Look at what you want to become. But don't chase the aesthetics. Chase the feeling. You'll mm-hmm. see. The feeling will get you there. But out of everything, consistency wins the race out of everything. You have to be consistent with it.
Yeah. You got to be consistent. There is nobody that can achieve anything in life, anything. Even like the entrepreneurs that Mauricio's been interviewing, they yeah. all have one thing that they all consistently say, and it's you got to be consistent.
You have to. You want to be a content creator, you want to be a YouTuber, you want to be an online coach, post, tell your story. You must. You can't do, some dude post something about bad advice on the social media world, like on Instagram. And the bad advice was, only post 3 times a week or some crazy shit like that. He's no, wrong advice. More like 3 times a day. You must post. You must get out there. It's a competitive world. The people who make it and the ones who don't, consistency is usually the key between it all.
Mm-hmm. In everything, in all aspects.
Yes.
You gotta be consistent. You're not gonna achieve anything doing anything inconsistent.
No, that's everything. Not just the way you look, not just the way you feel. Any business, any venture you take on, any entrepreneurship, you gotta be consistent.
Anything you're trying to learn, if you're not consistent with it, you're not gonna grow and learn something.
Nope.
Anything that you do, if you're not consistent, it's not going to work.
Not at all. So remember that. If you're going to get after something, whatever it be in life, you better be consistent. You better be willing to put in the work.
All right, you guys, thank you so much for tuning in. And we will see some of you over on the after show.